Hi, I'm Larry Gifford, and I have Parkinson's disease.
And I'm Rebecca Gifford, Larry's partner in Parkinson's and in life.
This is When Life Gives You Parkinson's. Our sixth episode of the 2023 series, all about deep brain stimulation, DBS.
Larry's DBS surgery is done.
Woohoo!
And spoiler alert, he's here.
I'm alive!
He survived it.
If you haven't caught the first five episodes in our DBS series, we recommend starting there.
Today we have special moments of audio from the build-up to the surgery and some post-surgery thoughts.
Just after 1 o'clock on Monday, and we are headed to the hospital for pre-op. Yay! Hi, everybody. You're here. Oh, that's great. Oh, hi, how are you doing? Oh, you're here too. So great to have everybody and all your support. Thank you for all the well wishes and the prayers and the good vibes that I'm feeling. That's great. Today is the day before the surgery. We are checked in. I've got fancy new clothes. Hope you like them. This is going to be the new fall look.
Hospitals everywhere.
Yeah. I will not be on this channel, so I can't get your messages as they come in, but I've read through the messages that are in so far, so thank you for that. Beck will keep you updated tomorrow throughout as she gets information, she'll pass it along, and then Wednesday I should be coming home and fresh with two new holes in my head. I'll be holy enough to go to church again. Hello.
Hello. I'm just going to see if I can put an IV.
Okay, which side here?
Well, let's see. Okay, maybe I can try putting in your left arm.
Okay.
Just because you're right-handed. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I have to put it in your hand.
Okay. Blow out?
No, I didn't blow out. And I will be right back. Okay.
Great.
Keep pumping. Wow, your veins really hate me.
Oh, don't take it personally. They hate everybody.
I'm gonna get someone else to give it a shot.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. Poked you twice.
Larry?
Yes.
I'm going to try start an IV on you.
We're trying again, aren't we?
Do you feel comfortable letting me try?
Sure.
One more time?
Sure, come on.
Okay.
Join the party.
Hey, do you mind if I shave here a little bit?
Whatever you got to do.
Okay.
They're going to drill two holes in my head. I don't think I care about hair in my arm.
Okay, sorry. Okay, so... We have one more nurse who is really good at IV. Sorry. You do need the IV for sure. She's very experienced, but she's on break right now.
Okay.
Sorry. Another poke.
Mm-hmm. No worries. You're just getting warmed up.
Okay. Your vein is quite deep.
Yeah.
That's why.
It's 10:30, the night before my surgery, and I just got done with two packages of industrial body wipes, and that's how I clean my hair, too, and I get to do it again in the morning. I was fed lunch almost immediately as I got here at like 2:15, 2:30, and then they brought dinner at 4:30. I'm not allowed to eat after midnight. Until after my surgery, which will end around 5 or 6 tomorrow. So I finally asked, hey, can I get a snack? And they brought toast, a cheese sandwich, and crackers with jelly and peanut butter. It's a delicious snack. But for those of you who've never slept in the same bed with me, you wouldn't know this, but my biggest pet peeve is crumbs in bed. And so... here I'm going, am I hungry or am I more worried about the crumbs? I was more hungry. We got the crumbs out fine. I had the IVs put in, IV for tomorrow put in today so they could just access it quick. And it turns out the first nurse tried twice and missed the vein. So she brought in the backup nurse, who's better at it than she is. She missed. And then they said, well, let's wait for Rosemary because she's on break. So Rosemary came in and she missed. And then Rosemary reaccessed one of the already open holes that didn't work. And she went in a different way and made it work. So I feel like I've already been poked quite a bit. Taking my vitals every couple of hours. We've had a visit from Dr. Schmidt, who is working with Dr. Honey. She went through all the do's and don'ts for tonight and tomorrow. So I've taken my last pills for the day and can't have any tomorrow until after the surgery because they want me to be off meds. So they test it correctly and put the electrical thing, the probe in the right spot. I'm almost hearkening back to when I was first diagnosed. I'm like, maybe I don't have, I'm still at this moment going, well, are you sure I did this surgery? I don't think I really have Parkinson's. I guess that's a little nervousness. I'm excited and I'm terrified at the same time, wondering, how is this going to change things? How will my life be different? How will our life be different? How will my day-to-day change? The biggest advice I've gotten so far is to be patient. Be patient tomorrow, be patient with the recovery, be patient with my body, be patient with the time to, I'm going to wait 6 weeks to turn it on, and I'm going to wait another 6 weeks to as we fine-tune it. So, this is the start of a journey. And I know there's a lot of people that are sending good vibes and prayers and positive energy my way, and that helps. It helps a lot. I just can't believe I'm having two holes drilled into my head tomorrow. You can't undo that. You can't take that away. This is not something that I had on my bucket list growing up. I told Beck tonight that I was afraid, scared, nervous. I'm not sure what I'm scared of, other than something going wrong. Like Dr. Honey's been doing this for, he does three a week. He's done over 1,000. Hey, one good thing about the hospital is they got plastic straws. Thank God. I hate those paper straws. Okay. I love you all. And thanks for the support. And I'll be thinking of you during the surgery. Well, I'm going to try to busy myself and get to sleep. Good morning to my friends and family all around the world. It's good to see you. It is almost 5 o'clock in the morning here in Vancouver, and today is the day for my DBS surgery. I'm going to end up the day with a couple of holes in my head. And they told me they were going to wake me up at 5. I said,
I'm going to win from the start of the day, and I'm going to get up and pee before 5 o'clock. Look at me. I'm winning. I just want to say thanks for all your prayers, your thoughts, and I will finish today strong because of you. And we, the collective, are going to get another win today. And best of luck to my surgery crew. Everybody's been awesome. I'm looking forward to today. And I'm scared shitless. It's going to be a long day. I appreciate everybody's support. And I will see you on the other side with two holes in my head. All right, here we go. Wild ride.
Hey, Larry. Tim and the gang here from U-Turn Parkinson's. Just wanted to wish you well this morning. Hope everything's gone well with the surgery, and we just hope that you get have a speedy recovery. And just want you to know that we're all thinking about you. So, from U-Turn Parkinson's to you, booyah! You got this!
I think so, honey. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. The hard part, at least what I think is the hard part, is over, which was putting this on my head and screwing it into my skull. It felt like they numbed it with like what felt like bee stings, for like, and it would feel, they had it four places, and then they'd screw in the bolts, and they had to screw and unscrew a couple of times because the mask was too tight on my face. They said they've only had a few people that didn't fit into the mask, and I was really close to not fitting into the mask.
Wow.
Everybody's been great. There's like six people working on me and holding my hands and wiping my brow. And it's uncomfortable. It's heavy. And so it just sort of, it's just extra weight on your head. And this is half of it. They took half of it off when they brought me back here. They had the whole thing on for the MRI. My day started at 5 a.m. and I had to wash myself off with cloths and special solution. And just had my, we've had like now five nurses, seven attempts to put an IV in me. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It took them five tries last night, and then that one was, they call it, it blew out.
Yeah.
And so they had to put another one in this morning, but she was a champ and got it done, so.
So, what's your experience with this right now?
It looks odd, and it looks a little uncomfortable, but you do look pretty calm, and you're very well cared for. The staff is awesome, and the nurses are great, and, I don't know. We're just kind of taking it moment by moment.
What's it look like with this thing going into my head?
It looks weird.
Henry says it looks weird.
Come here, Henry.
It is not a normal. This is not something you should normally.
It looks very weird. Blood's coming out. It looks gross.
It looks like there was some blood when it went in.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, it looks uncomfortable. Do you want to get closer in so that you're in the thing?
I can't look at it.
Can hold my hand? I'm gonna be okay. I'm in good hands, bud. Okay? Mm-hmm. We're gonna win today.
Yeah.
Okay?
That looks very heavy.
It feels very heavy. And then were you watching when they put the needle in my arm?
No.
Did you watch when they cleaned out my nose?
No. That's a lie.
Put the lasers in my nose.
Put blue things.
I didn't watch the laser.
Because you can still see the blue in your nose a little bit.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So they put blue solution and then these lasers in to clean out all the bacteria from your nose and nasal passages so that it doesn't creep up into your brain and all of that. Decrease infection, chance of infections and viruses and whatnot. Yeah.
That blue looks weird up your nose.
Yeah.
You have a blue nose.
Well, I'd rather have a blue nose than a yellow eyebrow. I don't know.
Your eyebrows are a little yellow. Because it looks here. Do you want me to get some up close of the?
Sure. Yeah.
So, okay. Excuse me, sweetie.
Because I can't see it.
Yeah. So you can kind of get a
See what that looks like.
I told the nursing staff, like, hey, if you guys want to get in here and go to a holiday picture, that'd be good.
Not cool, Dad.
Well, I'm feeling kind of out of it because I'm not, I'm off my meds.
Yeah, your face is, you look off. So lack of expression and just kind of that dulled look.
I got the tremor in my legs.
Yeah, a little bit. So you can't really see it right now. So
no.
It's probably internal tremor more than anything.
And then, my lower back hurts because this is not a comfortable position. But
and you can't really move. So
oh, not yet.
I'm going to get a look of the... So it's got measurements and everything around the side. And
oh, yeah. They like drew on my face before they put this on here.
Yeah.
Like with like a permanent marker or something. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Do anything else?
I love you guys.
I love you, too.
While there is some pain involved, it's not nearly the pain I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. It's more just an odd experience so far, anyway.
Yeah. I've not screamed and I've only cried a little bit.
we'll be eager for stories for what you experience in the surgery room.
Yep, I'll see you on the flip side.
Okay.
Made it.
I
like my haircut. It's horrible. I should get my money back for that.
How are you feeling?
I feel horrible. No. I feel okay, but there's still some pain, and my throat was incubated, so I don't have much speaking voice, but I will be strong voiced when I get back. Thanks, everybody. So one of the cool things is that I got to pick my own music for the surgery. And I started with Staying Alive, and I dedicated it to Dr. Honey. And he thought that was funny. But I had a revelation the other night where I remembered something from the surgery that I had forgotten.
What's that?
The doctors were all singing along to The Greatest Showman.
Really?
I do have a few thoughts 3.5 weeks removed now from surgery. My biggest fear after death was the head frame. And it hurt 40 seconds at a time. Meaning, it's not supposed to hurt at all. Like 0%. Dr. Hundy told me so. So from the frame to the drill, if I felt anything, I said, excuse me, that hurts. Or top left by your thumb or... something like that, and they'd stop down and they put in more local anesthetic. And it feels like a bee sting every time they give you the local anesthetic, and it just sort of melts away after 40 seconds. And after I got that installed, then I came to see you and Henry. It was great to see you guys.
In this tiny, tiny little pre-op room with a little curtain. And there were constantly nurses coming in and out doing the preparations. They had to change your IV again because it wasn't in a good spot and it wasn't really flowing as well as it should. So they had to move that. And there was a lot going on. But they were totally good with Henry and I being there.
Yeah.
It was really cool because they were understanding this is what's going to help keep the patient calm. this is what's going to kind of lead him into this very long surgery where he's awake most of the time. It can be quite nerve-wracking.
No, it was nice, and they took great care of me.
Yes, excellent team.
For the surgery, I was wheeled into a very roomy operating theater. There must have been about 10 people in there. I'm not sure who was who, except for Dr. Honey was behind me, and Nurse Nancy was always there to help me through whatever I was feeling. Now, at one point, Dr. Honey goes, okay, now this is what the drill sounds like. And he goes, now this is what the drill sounds like when it's hitting your skull. It's like, he goes, well, you're going to feel that for about 40 seconds, and then we'll do it again. I'm like, okay. And I didn't feel the drilling, but I felt when they got through to the other side.
It was like a whoosh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting sensation.
Ooh, that's weird. Yeah. And you feel the pressure of it, but you don't feel the pain at all. Like it was nothing.
Yeah.
The first electrode they installed in like 30 minutes. It was really quick. And then the second one took forever.
Well, and there was discussion in the room about where it should be and what was the right placement and which direction and whatnot. So, some collegial conversation and maybe some disagreements about where it should go. And then it ended up being in a spot by group consensus. Yes. In a great spot. It just took a little bit to find it.
Yeah. And so they had Nurse Nancy moving my wrist like the cogwheel. Like people who've been through that, where the MDS moves your wrist around to see if it cogwheels. And once she got it to a point where it didn't cogwheel, then they had me do my vocalization. And so they said, Larry, say 4, 5, 6. And I'd go, 4, 5, 6. And they go, okay, now do it again. 4, 5, 6. Okay, do it again. 4, 5, 6. Okay, let's lock Bingo. That in. Every so often during the procedure, Nurse Nancy would have to wake me up because I couldn't stay awake. And so she's like, Larry, we need you now. Larry, we need you now.
Larry really wanted to leave his body.
I really wanted to leave my body. Yes, it was time. Since the procedure, I've been experiencing the honeymoon period, which admittedly is poorly worded because nothing about this is a honeymoon, but I suppose I am married to DBS for life, so it's appropriate.
So 26 days. Just this morning, I started to see some dyskinesia and some motor changes where the honeymoon period is beginning to end.
Yeah. For most of my recovery, I've been on about 4 pills a day plus the 2 extended at night. And I was, no longer constipated, and I was getting my smell back, and I was, my body temperature was regulated.
Which is huge. That's actually a huge quality of life thing for you, because that was a major symptom right before the surgery. You would just have the sweats constantly. There was no regulation happening.
I never had a headache. They said, you may have a headache. Never had a headache. I had a little bit of chest ache afterwards for a couple of days. But overall, I'm surprised at how much it didn't hurt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have brain surgery and you just assume that's going to hurt.
There's going to be headaches. There's right. Some sort of ache.
What were your observations through this process, honey?
Well, we talked about before that you were very tired for the first
2 weeks.
I would say a full 2 weeks where you were sleeping most of the day. And then pretty quickly, like that just kind of wore off. And then one day you were up and about most of the day and you took your customary nap, but you weren't. You definitely had more energy. You were starting to work on PD Avengers again and just had more awareness of the house and the world around you. You were wanting to get up and take walks and you were exercising with me and feeling more normal, maybe even more energy than you had before the surgery. I did notice, and it's my job to observe these things, so it was an observation, and we talked about this, not a criticism. And this is both when you were very sleepy and acute recovery phase and after. And it's continuing now, and that's okay. A bit more cynical than your normal mood. You are usually quite sunshiny. But I'm wondering, and I would be curious about your observations about this too, about how much of that was kind of compensating for the pain and the discomfort and the frustration and all the limitations and the things that you were feeling from the Parkinson's.
It's a lot to take in. I was going to say, I hear you on the cynical, because like I'd watch TV commercials and make fun of them. Like I was, yeah. like it was weird. I watched the news.
Oh, that's really cheesy. Rather than like tears running down your face. Right.
So there
that's
was
so moving.
There was a sense of cynicalism there, just in the way I was reacting to like things that I didn't need to react to.
Yes, that's maybe that's it too. You're reacting to things when normally things would just kind of slide.
Right.
And a little bit angry and a little dark. Yeah. And when it first started to happen, when I first started to observe that, I did kind of have a moment where I was like, are you okay?
And I'm like, yeah, why are you asking me?
I was genuinely curious. Are you okay? Because I am noticing a difference. And part of my job during this time is to notice these differences.
That's a big role for the care partner.
Yes. And so I'm taking it very seriously, and I'm noticing things, and then I'm bringing them up to you as I notice them so that I can kind of gauge, is this something that's just you're having a bad day, or is this a trend, or what are we looking at here? That's a different personality than I'm used to. And we tend to balance each other out a little bit, where I can be the one who can have the dry humor and the sarcasm and the observations that sometimes are a little cynical. And then you kind of balance it out with a cheery joke about it, or a cheery joke about my cynicism or something. And then we find that balance there. And so I was kind of having a reaction to, well, this is different than what I'm used to and the balance that we've already figured out.
So I stole your line.
A little bit. I was like, well, you're not allowed to be the dark one. I'm supposed to be the dark one. Right? But then I caught myself. And I also listened to, you know, shout out to We Can Do Hard Things podcast. Because right after I started observing that, we had a conversation about this. I listened to this recent podcast where Glennon Doyle and Abby Wambach are talking about something very similar. So check out this episode if you're curious. Where they have their roles, and then when they start to shift, yes, there is kind of a rebalance, and it does feel a little bit awkward, uncomfortable. At the same time, it's like, thank you for revealing that to me. I'm enjoying your dark side. I understand your dark side, right? Because I'm in touch with my dark side. And right, and so there's a connection that can be made from that as well. So initially, it was awkward, uncomfortable. And now I'm kind of embracing it as this is just where he is right now. This is where you are right now. And I'm here to support you through all of the phases of these things, while also as neutrally as possible, observing any personality shifts. It's not like a huge personality shift. You are not a different person. You still sing in the mornings and irritate Henry and me. We're just kind of like, it's Monday morning. I don't know that we need the singing, but okay. And then, right, there's still those elements of that. Yeah. It's not like a huge shift. It's not a personality change. But I have noticed that. And I'm curious what you're feeling about that.
Well, I was talking to my counselor the other day, and I said, oh, going into the surgery, and you heard this earlier on the tape, I said I was scared shitless. And I have to be honest, I don't know if I was scared that I was going to survive or if I was going to die. And so part of this is just reconciling that, okay, I made it. Now what? Now, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to take? How am I going to take advantage of this opportunity?
And that's a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm very grateful for the opportunity that the doctors have given me. And I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do.
Your life is in major transition right now, at the same time of the surgery, and all the hope and trepidation attached to that. You are shifting out of a career that you've had for 30 plus years, finding a new way of being. And in a way, it's a version of a clean slate. It's not an entirely clean slate. And as freeing as that can be, it's also comes with the expectations that are already attached to the time that you're going to spend post-surgery, what you're going to be able to focus on, what you're going to be able to get done, what people are wanting you to get done, and then you reconciling, what do I want to do? How do I want to spend my time? How do I want to live and use this time and quality of life that I'm being given by the DBS with the expectations of others? And where's the Venn diagram crossover so that you can make decisions about how you want to move forward? Right. It's a lot, honey.
For the first time in a long time, I feel like I have a say, more than a say. I have total say in what I do and where I go. I just don't know where that is. Mm-hmm. Or how we're going to get there. Mm-hmm. But we'll figure it out. So one of the questions as I read through our email is, it's most popular, is, hey, I'm going to have DBS. What do I need to have, like, immediately following the surgery, like at home or whatever? And I don't know that there's a one standard answer for that, but, like, we went out and bought a Lazy Boy so I could have that for my recovery chair. And so I'd have that for my bed, and I wouldn't have to leave, supine on my back. So, because I just can't imagine getting up with the chest the way it is. And it's been great.
So the best sleeping situation that you can figure out.
I would just say, make sure you have some of your favorite things around you. And, you know, if you want ice cream, get some ice cream. If you want some soda, get some soda or whatever it is that's going to make, if you want, you know, great licorice tea, get that. Becca Miller got me a bunch of Legos and that was amazing. Thank you, Becca. Try to keep your mind clear, and you may want somebody to make you some meals just depending on your situation.
I would say, from just a mental preparation standpoint, understand what boundaries are important to you during that time. If you don't want to take a bunch of calls from friends and family asking how you're doing or whatever, ask people to text you and then ask them to be patient. I may not get back to you right away. Set up a perimeter around you, I guess, that's going to help you with your recovery and make sure that it's not, your days are not spent making other people feel better about your about how you're doing or whatnot. And then bring the people you need closer in and make sure that they are available and know that they are your people.
And that's especially important for the care partner, to have people at the ready, whether they're long distance on a call or they were there. We had help with Henry. You also set up kind of a phone tree where, so you had a WhatsApp phone tree set up. So there was a certain number of people that you were going to communicate with in WhatsApp, and then they could tell whoever.
Right, disseminate to their larger family or whatever. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I think that really helped because it was just like, real quick,
what I've done. I can imagine this need, this need, and this need. Right. Who do I most want to count on for those three things? And that was really helpful. And I don't even think I used everybody. Right? I think I maybe used one or two of the people, of those people. But it was really comforting to know that they were there and that they'd already helped, that they'd already offered, and that they were in the ready.
Okay, so we're going to turn on the device in a few weeks, and then we're going to see what happens, and then we'll record another podcast.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, for reaching out, for those of you who did, and offering support and love and your eagerness to know how Larry's doing and how the whole family is doing. Really, we felt that.
And it was quite amazing.
Yes. And we feel the love, we feel the support, and we're very grateful to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you for being awesome. If you have questions about our DBS journey that we can share with our listeners in the next episode, please click the link on the show notes to record a message for us or email us at parkinsonspod@curiouscast.ca.
When Life Gives You Parkinson's is a Curious Cast production.
Our presenting partner is Parkinson Canada, where people with Parkinson's are at the center of everything they do. Parkinson Canada funds critical research, provides information and support, raises awareness, and advocates for improved healthcare outcomes for people with Parkinson's across Canada. Learn more at parkinson.ca.
PD Avengers, a global coalition of people living with Parkinson's, their partners and supporters, all working together to put an end to Parkinson's disease. Be sure to check out the most recent Parkinson's news, upcoming events, and free exercise and wellness portal offering thousands of hours of live and on-demand classes at pdavengers.com that is powered by U-Turn Parkinson's. We'd truly appreciate it if you could share this podcast with somebody, anybody. I mean, even if you don't like them, just give them the podcast. It's the most effective way you can grow the audience and to raise awareness of Parkinson's disease.
And give us a rating or follow us.
Like a 5. Like 5 stars.
5 would be great.
Yeah, or 7. Can you do 7 stars? I think you can just do 5.
I think five is the math.
Stick with 5.
Keep positive.
Keep exercising.
Keep listening.
We'll talk to you next time.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.